Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse 5 of Matthew 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, you're a wonderful God. You've been so good to us this year. We have so much to be thankful for. For you're as faithful now as you always will be, unchanging in glory, in your mercies, in your power, in your wisdom, in your love to us through Christ Jesus. And I do thank you for that. And Lord, your Spirit is here with us today as you promised. And once again, we look forward to you speaking to our hearts from your word. And I pray that by your blessed Spirit, by your word, for the glory of your Son, that we would draw closer to you. Lord, I do pray that we would resolve to walk with you in the coming year as you deal it to us day by day. Father, help us to maybe realize some places where perhaps we've slipped and maybe aren't as close as we should be, or maybe aren't as zealous in some area, Father. Help us to shore that up and to draw closer to you there. Father, I thank you for this church, as has been shared already. What a blessing it is that you've given us this fellowship together. And I thank you for your love and Spirit which is here. Please fill my dear wife with your Spirit. We're laying the message in sign today. Please fill me with your Spirit so I can preach the word and teach to your dear people today. God, I thank you to know that the word has gone forth already. to the adults in the Sunday school hour and also the children in the Sunday school hour. And God, might we take that blessed word and let it guide us through life and yield our lives to it. Father, I pray that you'd help us as this church to accomplish this year or whatever time you'd give us, Father, to accomplish the things you have for us, to continue to be a light in this dark world, and to continue to reach out, to share the gospel as you allow us, to reflect the living of the gospel in our lives. Father, to be different, to be not separated from the world in the sense of communication, Father, but separate from the evil and walking and living lives that are different from the world, all for your glory, all for the hope that it might make a difference in someone else's life. Father, that you might be pleased and that we would draw closer and be more like your Son. Father, we do thank you and praise you for all you've done for us and continue to do. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God gave us a good year last year. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God's people. I ponder some of the events of the past year. We had one of our charter members, Ron Bell, go home to be with the Lord. And it was a glorious time. It was a glorious time because he knew where he was going. And it was a glorious time because we were able to be a help to the family in having a memorial service here. And God packed this place out, and many of their loved ones in their sorrow heard the gospel and received hope for eternal life. And we miss Ron, and we look forward to seeing him again. And that'll be wonderful. And we won't have to sign to him then. He'll understand us, our voices then, and or maybe God will just make it so we're able to sign. I don't know. Probably both. Yeah, but we're thankful for that. Sunday mornings we had 25 or 26 visitors pass through here just Sunday morning alone. Usually we have, frankly, as many between Wednesday night and Sunday nights, so we don't keep track of those. So we've had some visitors come through that have got the gospel. We're thankful for that. This past year, Brother Brian has begun to help teach in the adult Sunday school classes. That's been a blessing. I'm thankful for that. And I've got the privilege to teach the children some and to have some time with them. And I'm thankful for that. And it builds that closeness and that relationship. It's wonderful. Brother Gene's taken on to help with the deaf ministry and this and the filming and stuff. And my wifey started the deaf ladies class and some of this filming and stuff. Some of that was actually last year. I didn't do an overview of the year last year, I don't think, coming into the year. But we're thankful for that. We had missionary Mike Myers come in the beginning of the year. I think it was around April or so. He's a missionary to Mexico, going to Guadalajara. Preaches in the market ministries and preaches there and points the people to the churches and stuff as he ministers there. We had Brother Frank Van Apperdorn come, gave us a visit. I've got a good letter from him. I'll probably read that tonight. But he just goes and witnesses to the colleges, passing out tracts, and he's seen souls saved and ministering this year, and he was a blessing to us again. And we had John and Patricia Olson come, and that was a wonderful time as we got to receive the message in a language that wasn't our first language. We got to see it through the sign, to hear it through the speaker, and We were thankful for that, for their ministry. We had the cooks come again. We took them on last year, not last year, year before last, that year before last, being just over a year ago, because we took them on at the end of the year. So, but we had them come again. Last year they came again, were a blessing to us as well. We're thankful for that. We ended with a wonderful missions conference and an increase of $190 over our current giving in missions. Folks, that's wonderful. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm looking forward to what God's not done with us yet. We need to be praying, and I've put this before the Lord, and it's on our prayer sheet, praying about a building. I think we need especially some more room for the Sunday school. If we had a family or two come, we would be finding a hard place what to do with them, with children and such. So we need to be continuing praying about that. I'll be looking into some things for that as well. So continue to pray about that. But I was thinking about and praying about what to preach for looking into the new year. And I don't know that there's a better subject than prayer. I don't know there's a better place to start if you want a good foundation, is to be revived in this thing of prayer. Amen. And serve God in that way. I thought of three things the disciples asked the Lord in Luke 11:1. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." In in Luke 17:5, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." And in John 14:8, Philip said to the Lord, "Show us the Father." You know, if we learn to pray, and if we'll have our faith increased by the Word of God, then we're going to see the Father. We're going to know the Lord more through that relationship. And I think that'll be a blessing and a revival to our church, and reviving as we focus on that prayer. The title of the message this morning, the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. I was thinking about the church in the book of Acts. Acts is the only inspired history we have of the beginning of the church. I was thinking about that, and Jesus talking to his disciples as he went up to that mount, ready to ascend. And he told them in Acts 1:4, he was assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, "He have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And we remember that He gave them that great commission again. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And then verse 9 says, "And when he'd spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." What they're saying is, did you hear? What are you still standing around for? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords told you what he wants you to do. It's time to do it. Go. What? He didn't say have a picnic up here on top of the mount. You've got a world to reach. They're saying, go get busy. But I want you to notice what they got busy at. What's the Bible say in verse 14? These all continued with what? One accord in prayer and supplication. Do you got that? You see, what Jesus started out with said, now, don't go anywhere. Don't go and run out and start knocking on doors. Don't go and run out and start preaching the gospel in the streets. He says, go back to your closet. Go back to your room where you gather. Wait till you're endued for power on high. And what did he have? He had a time of prayer before he started the church. They fasted and prayed. Fasted and prayed for days. And then preached for hours and saw thousands saved. Today we only fast and pray for minutes and then preach for hours and expect to see people saved or see God do something. They prayed and fasted. And they did. So that's really what the angels were telling them to do, because that's what Jesus told them. Well, go do what you said. Go what? Wait upon the Lord. Go. Make sure you have that power. Now, we understand we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit now. He's in every believer. He's ready to work now. He hadn't come to indwell the believers in that full sense as he is here now. He's here now. Once you're saved, there's no waiting for the Spirit. He's automatically in you and is there to help you to grow. So as we're encouraged in this thing of prayer, I want us to consider, number one, that in this new year, we're going to be used of God and glorify Him as His church. We need to, number one, pray on purpose. We need to pray on purpose. I like this passage here in verse 5. And when thou prayest. In verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest. You got that? Verse 7. But when you pray. Notice Jesus didn't say, well, if you pray. Well, if you happen to be praying. Well, should you pray? He said, when you pray. Folks, there's to be no doubt that we're supposed to be praying. We're supposed to be praying on purpose. And to pray on purpose means we have to set a time in our schedule to do that. That'd be a good resolution for the coming year, wouldn't it? If that has slipped, and to secure that once again, to have that time, I'm going to pray, and this is when I'm going to pray. To have that in our schedule. We have such busy lives. Oftentimes, if we don't schedule things, prayer included, they get squeezed out. We need to make sure that we're praying on purpose. Well, I slept in. Have to get to work on time, so prayer is pushed aside for the morning. Well, I'm late for work. Got to get there. Out of groceries and folks coming over. Got to run do some shopping. Prayer slid to the side again. Well, the roads are bad. Got to leave early today because of the traffic. Prayer suffers again. Well, I just got home and I'm kind of, I had a busy day. Hadn't prayed as much as I should, but my favorite show's on right now. Well, I haven't prayed as much as I should today, but Sunday's coming up and I don't have my Sunday school lesson done. Oops! And prayer slides again. It's how easily we can let it slip. Got to straighten up the house, fix dinner, fix the car, answer the email, call mother, find my glasses and keys. I spend a lot of time doing those kind of things. And the time gets eaten away, and if we're not careful, it's eaten away out of our prayer time. And folks, there's nothing we need. There's nothing we need more than prayer. In all that we do. Jesus said, I am the vine, John 15:5, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And folks, you can do nothing. We can do nothing for the glory of God until we've prayed. We can do nothing for the glory of God until we've prayed. And it needs to be that priority in our lives and to have that exalted place. I think of the psalmist David. He's a good godly man to follow, wouldn't you say? A man after God's own heart. What did David say in Psalm 55, 17? Evening and at noon. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You see, David had it on the schedule. He had it on the notepad. whatever he used, I don't know. He had it on his calendar. Evening, that was actually the beginning of the day for the Jews. Morning and at noon will I pray. He had it on a schedule. Daniel was a man who lived a purposeful life. Remember when he was taken captive to Babylon, and they wanted to feed that man, that young man, some food that the Jews weren't allowed to eat at that time. And the Bible says in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Now, Daniel decided on purpose, I'm going to live godly. But it's obvious that Daniel decided something else on purpose. He decided to pray on purpose. Because the Bible says Daniel became exalted in that kingdom of Babylon. He ran that thing. He did his job so well that he was made a top ruler in the kingdom. Many of the Babylonian rulers in the kingdom worked under Daniel. And they didn't like that. They got jealous of that because he didn't worship the same gods they worshiped. They didn't like him. Remember their little plan? We need to find something wrong with Daniel, but we won't find it in his service because he does everything right. He does everything the best. He does everything for with a true heart and for the good of the kingdom. That's the way he works. We can't find any faults there. But if we can convince the king that if we can catch him doing something that the king will, that we can punish him for in his religion, in his faith, because he's faithful at that too. If we can get him in trouble there somehow, then we can get him. Remember they came to the king? King, we got a great idea. You're really going to like this. You are so great. We think for some portion of time, I forget how much it was right now, nobody should be allowed to pray to any god but you, O king. And the king said, oh, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And he regretted that later because he did love Daniel for his faithfulness. And so they went, and what did they do? They caught Daniel. When Daniel heard about that, and they made the writing and sealed it, the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, here it is, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber, toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day. It sounded like he was maybe following David. And prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You see, he prayed on purpose. He prayed on purpose. We need to pray on purpose, amen. Have a time in your schedule. And by the way, that's a priority. The little things don't chip away at that. Maybe I won't get the little things done, but I'll pray. And I'll be there in that time of prayer. I think of Jehoshaphat as he was ruling over the kingdom of Judah. A great army came against him. So much so that they had no chance on earth to beat him. If they were going to defeat this army coming, it was going to be a miracle. So Jehoshaphat didn't even bother mustering the troops. He said, we need God. By the way, regardless of whether we think we can take the army or not, we need God. Amen. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared, here it is, and set himself to seek the Lord. See, he prayed on purpose. God, I need you. I like his prayer. Verse 5, 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. He says in verse 12, our God will not judge them, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Here we are, God. If you remember the story, God gave them a great victory. God gave them a great victory there. He prayed on purpose. Jesus sure prayed on purpose, didn't he? Time and again we read the book of Luke, especially speaks much of his prayer life. Luke 4:42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. What do you think he was doing there? He was praying. Luke 5:16. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6:12. It came to pass in those days he went into a mountain to pray. Luke 9:18. It came to pass as he was praying. Luke 10:21 records a prayer. Jesus praying. He's rejoicing in spirit that the Father has revealed these truths to babes. Luke 11:1. It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. And time again we see that of our Lord. Pray. Pray on purpose. And then secondly, we see that we need to pray. We need to pray in private. Jesus says, but thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Now, there's nothing wrong with public prayer. There's nothing wrong with us praying in public as we do. As a matter of fact, when Jesus teaches this lesson, he gives an example of a public prayer. He says, what? Our Father. When ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. That's actually a public prayer. So he's teaching what? There's a place for both private and public prayer. But what he was condemning about people who prayed in public was when they did it for their glory and to impress men. The scribes and Pharisees went out, thou Father, thou most as highest, and they use all the exalted language and they wanted to be seen as spiritual for their eloquent way that they prayed. That's what Jesus was condemning. Not a public prayer that's shared from the heart by those involved. But we need to pray in private. We need that secret place. You see, we need a time and we need a place to do that. When you pray, enter into your closet. Jesus often departed into solitary places. We saw that. And when they wanted to make him a king in John 6, he just fed the 5,000. Most of us would say, well, I'm good with that. What did Jesus say? When he therefore perceived they would come to take him by force to make him a king, he departed into a mountain himself alone. And there he went at it again, praying in private. Remember when Jesus was collecting his disciples and John and Andrew had met him at the water where John Baptist was baptizing, and John and Andrew went and spent some time with him. And then eventually, I think Philip came along and he went and got a man by the name of Nathanael. And Jesus sees Nathanael coming. And in John 1:47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. This guy is right with God. Nathanael said, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You know God's watching? You know God knows when your time of prayer is and when mine is, or when it's not. By the way, he knows where we've chosen to pray. Nathanael said, you know, when Nathanael heard that, and he says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus basically said, you haven't seen nothing yet. You believe with that, you're going to hold greater things are coming. But the fact is, that fig tree must have been a place of Nathanael's private meeting, because he had gotten his heart was pure and right before God. Sounds like he was there in prayer and worship. We need to pray in private. We need time alone with God. Remember Elijah, that great prophet. Remember all the turmoil, that wicked King Ahab ruling over Israel. And not too many kings as bad as he. He married a woman by the name of Jezebel, and they imported Baal worship into Israel and got it founded there, built the altars and such for that. And Ahab and one of Ahab's servants who did love God had to hide the prophets of the Lord in caves and such and feed him. And Elijah's ministering during all this turmoil. And finally Elijah the prophet says, you know, that big contest, Ahab, you go grab seven, you know, go grab your prophets and bring them up to Mount Carmel, and I'll come out and we'll meet there. You remember the contest. There were hundreds of false prophets up there offering to their fire, trying to get their false god to send fire down upon the sacrifice. But what happened? Elijah prayed to the true God, and what did God do? God sent the fire down, didn't he? Burnt the sacrifice, burnt the stones, burnt the dirt, consumed it all. All that excitement. Elijah's getting worn out. And then Jezebel says, Ahab says, you hear what Elijah did? All your prophets are dead. And Jezebel said, well, the gods do so more to me if Elijah's not like them by about this time tomorrow. What did Elijah do? He headed for the hills. Or for the deserts, wherever. And God got him into where? What we might say a still small place. He's out there by himself, alone, exhausted. And God came to him. And remember, he was in a cave there, and God came to speak with him. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And there was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, what? A still, small voice. A still, small voice. You see, we need a time to be quiet and a place to be alone with God. I like Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. Folks, if we never take time to be still and say to the world, cares of the world, be quiet. Problems, get over there. My enemies, you get apart over there. Because right now, I want to hear what God has to say to me. I want to hear that still small voice to direct me in my life. We need that time alone. That time alone. Isaiah 5:8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Why is that? Because we need alone time with the Lord. We need that quiet, we need that time set. We need that place set where we're going to meet with God in that time. What else will revive us in our prayer? We need, thirdly, we need to pray with a plan. We need to pray with a plan. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. There are things we need to pray for. We had to have some kind of a plan in praying. By the way, we're so blessed to have so much information at our fingertips. It's almost too much. It is too much, actually. But you can go online and look up prayer plan. You'll find all kinds of outlines and helps just to help you pray. We got to pray with a plan. I'll give you a little bit about what I think ought to be included in prayer biblically. And I think prayer ought to be always as we pray, it ought to be encased in what I want to call a thanksgiving and praise sandwich. I think it ought to start with thanksgiving and praise. I think it ought to end with thanksgiving and praise. By the way, I think it ought to be seasoned. A thanksgiving and praise sandwich seasoned with praise and thanksgiving. Even sprinkle some in the middle and all the other stuff you're praying about while you're praying. Amen. And that'll make our prayers pleasing to God as it comes from our heart. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Listen, we can rejoice in the Lord always. What if a loved one just died? You're still saved if you're born again. And by the way, if you had a loved one that just died and you're born again, you probably gave them the gospel. You can be thankful for that, amen. You can praise God for that. In the midst of anything, we can pray, and we can rejoice in the Lord, in what He's done for us. Pray with a plan. Begin with thanksgiving and praise, and have it all throughout. And at the end, give thanks and praise for God's blessings and His wisdom, His power, His watch care over you. Give thanks and praise, and then make sure, before you get into your prayer, that you confess your sins. Confess your sins. Get cleansed from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, I believe you can give thanks even before you do that. Because if you're already planning on doing that, God knows your heart. You're going to praise God for a few minutes, and then you're going to say, "Now, God, I've done this, and I'm sorry. God, I was supposed to do this, and I didn't do that. And I'm sorry, I want to make it right." God's not going to be upset that you praised Him for a little while first. He's not going to be upset that you thanked Him that you had good health today. That He helped you in that problem. He's not going to be upset that you thanked Him and praised Him a while first. He knows what's on your heart and my heart. But confess your sins. Get cleansed. 1 John 1:9. We'll see more about why that in a minute. Pray for the needs of others, spiritual needs, physical needs, material needs. One person gives the folded hands method of prayer. You consider your hands, your thumb is the closest to you. Pray for those that are closest to you, your family, friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about those that are closest to you. Then you have your pointer finger. That's the next one out. Pray for leaders and teachers, especially pastors and Sunday school teachers and missionaries, the pointer finger. Then you have your index finger. That's the tallest. Pray for those in government, those in authority, as we pray. Then next you have your ring finger. That is your weakest finger. Pray for the weak and the infirm, those that are suffering with ailments and such and trials and struggles. Pray for the weak and infirm. Then you have your pinky finger. That's the farthest away from you. Pray for your own needs last. You know the key to joy? We all know it. Jesus, others, yourself. Amen. Jesus, others, yourself. And praying with a plan. There are many of them out there. And the rest of them aren't as much time, so we'll get through. Fourthly, pray with piety, or simply purity, holiness. I like verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven, what's to say? Hallowed be thy name. Holy be your name. Thy kingdom come. What's to say next? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. It ends there. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It's your glory, Lord. Your will be done. Holy be your name. Pray, recognizing that what we need most is God's will done in our lives. Unfortunately, many of us pray, it's not thy will, but mine be done. You see, many Christians pray with what they want to do, and they want God to help them what they want to do. I want to do this today, God. I want to work this job. I want to go over here. I want to go do this and that. So please help me in all I plan and all I want to do today, God. Adrian Rogers had a funny quote about that. I can't remember what it was. I'm going to ask my wife if she remembers. Do you remember? Oh, yeah. he said, we hear the prophets speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. But when we pray many times, it's listen, Lord, thy servant speaketh. that's the way we pray so many times. No, it's thy will be done. Thy will be done. See, we pray for our finances. Oh, God, I need help money to pay my bills. I have to have groceries, God. And God, I'm not feeling well today. Certainly you want me to feel wonderful and have perfect health, God. And so I need that too, God. We pray for these things. Oh, God, my car needs fixed. And oh my goodness, my cable went out. My favorite show comes on in an hour. My phone's not working. My computer doesn't work. And I'm just troubled today, God. Help me. And it's pretty much, listen, Lord, for thy servant speaketh is what we're doing. And prayer calls us to look at ourselves and say, God, am I serving you? Because you do want to help me in all that will glorify your name. And are we putting you first and your will first? Praying with piety. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask, what? In my name. That means according to my will. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What did James say the reason for unanswered prayer was many times? You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may assume it upon your lusts, your will, your desires. And I got fingers pointing, all the rest of my fingers are pointing back at me, folks. In his name. Praying with that sense. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, if we're not seeking the will of the Lord, if I'm not seeking what it is in my life and you and yours, we can't even pray wisely. We're unwise if we're not seeking to understand, well, what does God want me to do? You know, there are some folks in here who have a lot of time to pray. We all have time to pray. It needs to be on our schedule. It needs to be on our time. It needs to have a place. But some of us have a whole lot more time to pray than others. And therefore, you ought to be praying more than those who don't have that much time to pray. Because prayer is a great thing. Maybe during the day you can set aside a meal. Maybe it's breakfast or lunch or dinner. And you can say, you know, this today, I'm just not going to eat dinner. I'm going to pray for the church that those visitors that came would come back. That's going to be my dinner tonight. Remember Jesus when they begged him? He was at the woman at the well there, and he was witnessing to her, telling her about how to get eternal life. And they went and got some food, and they said, Lord, eat! Has somebody given him meat? And he just keeps on talking about it. Lord, eat! What did Jesus say? I have meat to eat that you know not of. I'm busy right now. Dinner can wait, is what he said. And he continued talking with that woman and those Samaritans who came. Maybe you can set aside. And I'm sure some of you do, and I'm thankful for that. Maybe God would lead to that here and there. I don't miss this meal. I'm going to pray for this person, that need, whatever it might be. Praying with piety. Praying, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer, Ephesians 6:18. And supplication, what? In the Spirit. Spiritual. Aligned with God's will. Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying what? In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. Well, God, I need a new car, and I sure like that one. That one's nice and shiny. It's my favorite color. Yeah, it may be, but are you praying in the Holy Ghost? Think about how prayer calls us to purity. Now, I'm serious. If we get serious about this prayer, we'd have revival in our lives, revival in our church. Think about this, how prayer calls us to purity. Psalm, you want to pray, and you want to see God answer your prayers. You want to pray wisely. You want to learn God's will. We got serious about that. Think about Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what does it say? The Lord will not hear me. Where is your prayer going if you're not right with God? It's bouncing off the ceiling, coming back and smacking you on the head, or me on the head. That's what's happening. You see, prayer demands purity. God says, purposeful iniquity will stop me from hearing you. If I'm convicting you about that sin and you're ignoring me, your prayers are probably hitting the wall. The Lord will not hear me if I regard. That has the idea of my arm being around iniquity. This is my friend. We all have sin. This is my favorite one. I'll just keep it. Thank you, Lord. God said that doesn't work. Think about this. Forgiving the brethren. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's just a little farther on down in the chapter. Matthew 6:14-15. I want to be right with God. I want to confess my sins. Well, you better forgive your brethren. You see that? Calls us to be right with God. Calls us to be right with our brethren. By the way, it calls us to be right in our marriages. Listen to 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's your wives, according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, here it is, that your prayers be not hindered. Wow. Prayer calls us to holiness, doesn't it? It will do that. Pray with piety. We must draw close to God if we're going to pray effectually. And then fifthly and finally, pray with perseverance. Pray with perseverance. In the children's lesson today, Josiah repaired the temple. They let it fall down, and it needed to be some cracks and such, and it needed to be repaired. And you know, that's what time does, doesn't it, down here? Time wears things out. All you who own a home, and even if you're renting places in your things in your home, things in your apartment, whatever it may be, they fall apart, don't they? And without some continual what? Fixing and attendance, what happens? You'd be in a heap, wouldn't you? We'd be in a heap in the midst of a bunch of rubble if we weren't constantly fixing and strengthening. By the way, that's what time does with our spirituality. If we don't do it on purpose, if we're not zealous in the upkeep of this thing, it just gets wore out. I'm tired, I don't feel like praying. That's when that time gets chipped away from that prayer, that time and place for prayer. I just got to get this done. I'm just too tired. I just need a little R&R and I'll watch my favorite show, whatever it might be. And it can wear us out. Persevere in prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, is what he says. That pray ye, in the Greek, it's in the present tense. That means a continuous action. Be continually praying. It's in the middle voice. That means It's an action that one does for or by himself. So it's my responsibility that I pray. And by the way, it's for my own good. It's an action that one does for or by oneself. It's in the imperative mode. That means it's a command. It's a command. Pray with perseverance. Don't ever give up praying. You and I are commanded to make sure that you pray on purpose. Make sure that you pray in private. Make sure that you pray with a plan. Make sure that you pray in piety, all these things we're talking about. You make sure that you do that. I'm to make sure that I do that, God says. Peter writes in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, here it is, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Don't ever give up. Isn't that what Jesus said in Luke 18:1? He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What's he saying? We got a choice, folks. Pray or faint. If we're always doing, and by the way, there's doing that needs to be done. There's service for the Lord that needs to be done, always. But if we're always doing, and we're not praying for the doing, guess what's going to happen? We're going to faint. And we're going to give up somewhere along the line. And we need to be grounded in that. That continuous action. So Paul was really just repeating what the Lord said when he wrote in Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer. It's exactly what Jesus was saying in the tense of the word. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And be what? Notice he said with thanksgiving all through it. And be watchful what? That doesn't get taken away. Because if we lose our prayer life, listen, we can't do anything until we've prayed. We can't do anything until we've prayed. I'm so thankful that the blood of Christ has fallen and that he's risen and that we can go to the throne of grace as often and as long as we desire. God never says, well, I got to get going now. I got a whole lot of stuff to do, okay? I'll try to get back. That never happened when you or I prayed. We can always go. And we can always go for as long as we want. And we can always share all our needs. Matter of fact, we're commanded to. We're commanded to. That's a loving God. And folks, I look forward to God reviving my heart in prayer. And God helping me to do what he wants me to do as a pastor. And guiding us. I'm so thankful for all he's done for us in this past year and all the years before. But I know he's not done with us yet. And I know there's a whole lot more for us to do. And I know we need to pray. And we need to pray together, amen. And we need to have our own private place alone where we pray in earnest and seriousness before God. Amen. And I think with that, we'll have a good start in the new year. Setting aside that time for our God and to be with him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are wonderful. You're all powerful. You're all loving. I think of how you became a man so we could see your love. It just blows my mind, your love and your power and your care for us, that you'd come to earth and willingly do what you did so that we could receive eternal life as a gift just by faith, just by believing you did it. Repenting of our sins and turning to you in faith just to receive the gift. I thank you, Lord. And Lord, you are coming again. You came the first time as a helpless babe. You're coming again as our Savior from the tribulation that'll come on this earth. And you're coming again as a powerful and reigning King. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful here while we look for you to come. Lord, help us in this thing, especially in this thing of prayer. For in that we'll find strength, encouragement, wisdom from your word, help by your Spirit, a burden for others, a desire to know you in a greater way, Father, this year. I pray we desire to know that in our own personal life this year more than we ever have, God. To say, God, I'm amazed at how you help me in my life. How your presence is so near and so real. God, I pray that that would be our thirst and our hunger, each one of us as we go to prayer. And that we might allow you to transform us into your image. Some things in our life might be difficult, which you allow. We can trust your heart and know that you know what you're doing. And Father, help us as to receive that, even the difficult things, as one song says, even as from a Father's hand. And Father, we thank you for the fellowship you've given us in this church and the many blessings you've known. And God, we want to hear each one of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I pray that we not fail in seeking that pursuit, seeking the smile upon your face this year in our own personal lives and our labors together as a church. And Father, help us in that also to thank you and praise you. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.